You are now listening to Cinema Cabinet with your hosts, Ted Evans and Wayne Burkine.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ted Evans. With me, of course, is my co-host, Wayne Burkine.
Hi, everybody. It's Wayne.
So, how you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm terrified.
You're spent.
I'm spent. That movie just drained me. The movie in question we're talking about was Strangers, but first, we have a special guest. I didn't forget. I'm not going to forget this. Who's our special guest, Wayne?
It's comedian and bartender extraordinaire, Josh Forog.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
That's my intro. Okay, go.
I'm Wayne.
Yeah, Josh Forog. He works at the airport early in the morning, serving up bloodies, buddy.
Bloody buddy. How you doing, Josh?
I'm in a state right now where I don't know if I want to go home alone.
I think your Menzies lined up on that fucking movie.
Oh, Jesus, I don't want to talk anymore about blood.
Synced up. Your Menzies synced up on that one.
We just watched the most terrifying movie ever, The Strangers. That movie is, I'm sorry, the movie's fucking terrifying.
It's a very good movie.
I don't even watch scary movies, and that's not something to jump into scary movies with.
Ah, they both jumped in my fucking lap at one point. Holy fuck, you women.
Oh
God,
my.
God damn it.
I was on top of Wayne Burkine the entire movie.
It was uncomfortable.
You know, like how when you've seen a scary movie or something scary before, or like even an action movie, you're like, I know what's coming. I know it's coming. So like, you just start to like.
Yeah, you were getting ready for it the whole time.
The whole movie, I'm just like sitting there like, okay, no, it's going to happen soon. This is going to happen, you know, whatever. Like, this being my second or third time ever watching this movie, fucking still terrifies me. I saw that in theaters. Because yeah. I remember watching the preview for it and being like, I need to see that movie.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is going to scare the shit out of me, but I need to see this movie. And I saw it in theaters, and I just remember leaving the theater and being like, oh my fucking God, what just happened?
Well, the trailer, too, also gives the best line in the movie.
Yeah.
There's not a lot being said in this movie aside from run, get out, there's a radio over here.
Yeah.
Like, the best line. Why are you doing this?
Because you were home.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just so matter-of-factingly.
The fact is, nothing is said for 30 minutes prior to them explaining why they're doing it. And I think that makes it. The horrifying part is that, oh, they're going to talk now.
Oh, no. It's only that one lady. It's that one, the blonde.
The hot blonde.
Is Tamara here? Or was it Tammy, Tamara?
It's Tamara.
Tabitha. Is Tabitha here?
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like almost like, just say that Tabitha's home.
Yeah. Like, but she's grounded.
It's almost like that's like the code word.
The code, yeah.
Like, is Tabitha home? So next time someone comes to my house, they're like, is Tabitha home? Yes! Tabitha is home.
Tabitha's here.
She's sleeping. She's got a very contagious meningitis.
She's got AIDS.
Run.
She's got AIDS. Don't have sex with her. It's a bad situation.
She's bad Holy AIDS. You can't get blood on her. Don't get your blood on you. You'll be fine. Please don't murder us.
Oh my God. I mean, it's everything in that movie. Because first of all, like, okay, so we've discussed it a little bit on previous podcasts.
You have lost your shit over it. Holy crap.
Because this movie genuinely terrifies me.
I can't believe how low the ratings are on this fucking movie.
I know, right? Like, I just...
6.1 out of 10 on
did
IMDb.
Did I not say, like, my biggest fear was watching it again and being like, this isn't as good as I remember it.
Oh, no.
It is just as good, if not better, than I remember, because it's the little things. They're constantly watching. They're always there.
There's stuff moving. Oh my God, when there's stuff moving. Oh,
there's inside, they're outside, there's outside, they're inside. And then the camera, too. The camera work.
The whole movie is just this, like it's almost as if they said, like,
mind fuck.
Our time limit is 6 a.m. We have to be done with these people by 6 a.m.
Yeah.
That's when our time limit is. Until then,
do you ever see
have fun, guys.
When those guys leave?
What?
Do you ever see a clock when those guys do leave?
No. You just know that it's daytime.
It was almost noon, it seemed like maybe
9, 10 in the morning.
I would say 10. It seemed late. The Mormons were out. They sleep till 9.
The birds were chirping when they were, like, getting their last kicks.
What if they're last birds, the late birds?
No. When they're doing the final, like...
The stabbing.
Before they opened up all the windows and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Before they let the daylight.
Yeah, it was definitely like 6 in the morning when they were wrapping things up.
Yeah. It was like 6 a.m., brought him in. Oh, I mean, even it was like a ritual, too. Like, that was the cool thing,
they stabbed him first and let her watch.
Yeah.
And then once he died, they stabbed her and left her alive.
Well, yeah. I think they just made sure she was dead. They were just hanging out. So she...
No.
They left her alive on purpose? Yeah. When she did the crawling for the phone
Leave one behind to tell the story. Always
because they because what
but
happened?
But now she's seen all their faces though. That's why.
But
she lost also so much blood that how could she
they figured that she was gonna die. They left her without a phone.
Yeah,
but they figured that no one was gonna come upon it until like way later.
Right, but then where those Mormon kids? Did you think they carry phones? I thought it was against their religion.
Well, they called 911.
They called 911
from what?
The beginning.
Remember in the beginning, you see the kids walking through the house.
Yeah.
And you hear the 911 call.
What phone did they use?
They used the cell phone that they had with them.
The Mormon kids have cell phones now?
They're not Amish, Wayne. They're Mormon.
I mixed those two up.
That's
why I didn't vote for Romney, because I thought he was Amish, and I didn't want to ride a buggy.
No. That's completely different.
Okay.
No, he's Mormon, and he embezzled money.
No,
he outsources.
They do a really good job because, like, okay, the only girl of the group that you actually see her face.
Gemma Ward.
Super hot. By the way, Gemma Ward can murder me with her mouth on my peanut. Gemma, if you're listening.
Gemma Ward, you kind of see her face in the beginning.
Yep.
I think the high definition is a huge difference because I saw the theater. I don't remember seeing her face.
They didn't see her face now that you bring that up because the light was out. No, they fixed it afterwards.
Yeah. They never saw her face before.
No, but we did.
Well, we kind of saw.
Yeah.
It was still in a low lighting situation.
Yeah, it was still in a haze.
You still knew it was her. You were like, that's a hot chick from
Victoria
Mars. What was the name of the movie?
She wasn't in Veronica Mars. I thought she was. She wasn't.
No, she was wrong. He was wrong.
Lied to me.
Well, she's the good one.
But anyhow, so she has the only lines of the three.
Right.
She's the only one that talks.
Right.
But then they get in the car, and the older girl is the one who says, it's going to be easier next time.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Meaning that it was her first time.
It was, like, her first time. Oh, jeez.
Oh, Jesus. It's such a good, because it's such a mind fuck. It's such a cat and mouse thing going on.
Are you
like,
a sinner?
Like, you know they could get her, but then they're just like, yeah, fine, just wait.
Are you a sinner? Sometimes.
Can I Sometimes. Have one?
Oh, my God.
Oh, she wanted it. She wanted to repent. That was the thing. They wanted to repent.
Yeah.
The first time I saw that movie, I was like, kill those kids. Please
I just checked. It is indeed, the second one is in production.
Yes, I checked that too.
Is it called Stranger-er?
It's called The Strangers 2.
Strangers, yes.
And apparently the plot is this recently evicted family gets stalked.
Four.
Yeah, gets stalked by these three.
Evicted?
Yeah.
They just get kicked out of their house. They're victims of the economy.
See, that, I don't know how that's going to work.
Why would you kill people who already lost their house?
Well, that's the thing, is, like, the whole thing about this movie that made it for me was the idea that these people just drove around and waited until, like, they found someone who answered the door. Because this was a summer home. This wasn't a home.
Yeah, and basically...
They had to go around to different houses.
Yeah, they had been going to different houses.
Because the opening scene, I think, is wonderful. Because everybody thinks that he's happy fucking people getting killed. But it's obvious that they were not happy starting off. Because you can see the tears on Liv Tyler's face.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said. Like, the greatest thing about this movie is this isn't a happy couple.
No.
This isn't even a bad couple. These aren't terrible people. These aren't sexed up teenagers. This is, they just came from a wedding where he proposed and she said no.
Guy's already having the worst night ever.
Yeah. He's ready to devour a half gallon of ice cream.
By himself.
And he's not my speed man. He's not tiny.
No.
No. He was ready to devour. And I think someone did because that got really melted down there by the end of the movie. It was
literally like this was just a game.
Yeah.
Let's just have fun. Let's go to this house. If they answer the door, just fuck with them and then we'll murder them.
It was slightly less sadistic than the movie Funny Games.
Which
I think might be the most fucked up movie I've ever seen. As far as fucked up, not scary.
I would say just fucked up.
Fucked up and weird.
Funny
Games
was fucked up, but it didn't scare me. Funny Games, I was just like, this is really
fucked up. It wasn't supposed to scare you.
What's Funny Games about?
Funny Games is these two boys, and they come over to the summer home. Again, instead of summer home, the remake just came out with Eli Roth.
Not Eli Roth, Tim Roth.
Tim Roth.
Yeah, Eli Roth is a totally different movie.
Yep.
Funny Games, they eat everyone.
fucking cannibals.
No, Tim Roth and his wife, who
and his
is... chick from King Kong.
Oh, yeah, her. We just talked about
Watts.
Her.
Watts. Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts. So Tim Roth and Naomi Watts, they go to their summer home. Do they have a kid?
Yep, they have a little boy.
Oh, yeah, he gets killed.
Oh, he gets shotgunned right the chest.
Yeah. So anyways, in Funny Games, they go to their summer home. These two teenagers come over. One of them is just like this preppy kid, and he's just really douchey. And they're like...
And the other one's a little slow. He has a learning disability.
Yeah.
They just want to borrow some eggs.
Yeah, yeah. And then basically...
They drop the eggs,
and then they start, like, hitting on Naomi Watts.
Yeah, and they ask for more eggs, and they start just getting a little pushy with her.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're like, why didn't you say sorry? Because he bumped into her, and he dropped the eggs, and he goes, well, you didn't apologize for bumping into me. And she's like, well, you dropped the eggs and came over. He goes, well, you're being rude.
Yeah.
And then you can tell there's something up. And then it turns into a mindfuck.
It does. It turns into them, like, basically torturing these people. Tim Roth gets away. Or no, Naomi Watts gets away, and she starts running down the street looking for someone. Sees a car. And who's in the car is the guy, the two teens. And they're like, welcome back. You know, like, Funny Games is a fucked up movie, but it's just more like, it's demented.
Yeah, it's more Clockwork Orange weird.
Yeah,
as opposed to this, which is the craziest, scary movie I've ever seen.
This movie, on a primal level, just fucking like scares you to the core.
Oh yeah,
like it hits on all of the big hits, serial killers.
Yeah,
like feeling safe, like you're not safe in
your
safe place.
Not just serial killers, but psycho killers.
Psychopathic thriller.
And these people aren't the like you know like. We're gonna kill you!
No.
It's just like...
Very silent.
Patience. Yeah. What are they gonna do? I don't know what they're gonna do. Are they gonna do something?
You
oh,
don't know.
Oh my god, she's right behind you. And then
so many
she's
times,
gone. She's fucking cat and mouse.
Not Rob McKellen. What's the guy who from Always Sunny that shows up?
Oh, I don't know his real name.
But he's Dennis in Always Sunny. He shows up
drunk.
At a certain point.
Drunk
he's
and
walking through the house and the guy, Sackhead, is holding... The fucking axe, and you're like, oh my god, he's about to get axed.
Yeah.
And he's just walking behind him slowly with the axe, like,
I don't know. Because the music is blaring, no one can hear anything.
They don't know what's going to happen. Also,
I want to get the soundtrack for this movie, too, and just go on a road trip or kill some people.
No, I don't want to be in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, no, I'm totally joking about that. That's a joke.
That's bad, Wayne.
No, I'm making funny.
Wayne,
this
get
is a
it checked out.
We're making...
Wayne. Go see a doctor.
Baxter will eat meat, right?
Oh my god. Anyhow.
Baxter will eat anything.
So like on a primal level, this movie really fucks with you. Yes, it does use some of the scare tactics of like, you know, ba-da! And like something's there.
Yeah.
But it's not the outrageous like ba-da! Cat jumps out of a
yeah, thing. Oh yeah, it's not
no,
the
something
horny.
Like that.
The hokey.
Anytime
like,
the
you
music
should
does something. Something fucked up happened.
Yeah. When she goes to the back window and she hears this noise and finally it stops, then she opens the curtain to look. And it's not like something jumps out. The guy's there.
Yeah, right there. Right against
and
the window.
And he's not moving. He's not pushing on it. He's not like jumping at her. He's just standing there. She opens the window and he's just like...
Yeah.
And that's what's terrifying.
I'm going to call that guy the asthmatic sack head.
Yeah, he had a breathing issue.
Yeah.
He definitely probably, I'd say out of the three of them... I mean, I know the blonde girl was the new girl, but he seemed the most timid. I watch a lot of CSI and, like, Criminal Minds, so I watch them analyze Psychopath the Killer. I think he's the pushover one. I think he's the one
I think
who
he's
happens.
The leader.
He just really wants to have sex with that
no,
dark-haired
No, I don't think
girl.
He's the leader
I think
at
the
all.
Dark-haired one was the ringleader.
Yeah, the dark-haired
one
was
seemed to lead a couple
of
actions in there. She made the first move to, okay, it's time to... Mask off.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
everybody, it's time to
the guy
time
looked
to go.
Back at her and she nodded yes and then he took his mask off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. I believe probably
But Talta was the first
from my CBS CSI training, I'd say they're probably in a relationship.
Or
he's
he
more
really
of a timid
wants
guy.
To fuck her.
Yeah, and she's controlling the relationship with murder.
I thought the blonde girl was the first one to take her mask off. She, yeah, because she's standing in front of him and takes her mask
off. Yeah, with the knife, and she put the knife down. She was letting them know, here's what's going to happen. And then because she's the new one, she has to do it first. The two back ones are the ones in charge, obviously.
Yep. Yeah, she's the initiate.
Yep.
Yeah, it was just, it was very, and then, you know, like when you see them pull in the truck, you know it's them, because you see the three heads in the truck.
Yep.
One's blonde, one's the brunette, one's the guy.
Yeah.
You're like, oh shit. What are they going to do to these kids?
Right.
And then they pull up, they get out, the brunette's having a cigarette, and the blonde goes up and just asks them.
Can I have one?
Yeah, yeah. And it's very much like,
what are they going to do? What are they going to do? What are they going to do?
No. And we did what we were going to do. Yeah. That's it.
Oh, I'm so tired from stabbing
We don't
people.
Just kill everybody. We have a certain thing that we do.
Yeah, we have a procedure.
And was that?
Protocol.
That was Dennis's truck, wasn't it?
Yep.
No. Dennis had pulled up with like a Jeep SUV.
Oh, okay.
Like a Cherokee or something.
Yep. Is
and what the fuck did they throw at his windshield that shattered it that well from a distance where he didn't see them? Because it takes a lot to puncture a windshield.
That was the hardest form of matter ever.
Yeah.
It was like a brick built into a brick.
Yeah.
You know what? Like the minute someone smashes my windshield, 911.
Yeah, exactly.
911.
But again, like Josh was asking about that. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, he's drunk and he's tired.
I don't understand.
Like, anytime I'm drunk and tired, happening? If a brick went through my windshield, I'd probably still call 911.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go over to their house. They'd be like, fuck.
No, I believe you would because you also jumped almost into Ted's lap over me in a couple of these fucking things.
Oh, that was both scariest.
God, you.
It was that. It was the first one where she opens up the thing and there he is.
Me and Ted jumped across this living room. Wayne, tough guy, big swinging dick.
I just
sat there like a champ.
Just shaking my head like, you guys didn't know that was going to happen. No, I did jump at Sinister because of that music change they did.
Yeah.
Like, we both knew it was going to happen and still it was just this. And we both just like, and then oh fuck, we both about pedaled a little.
No, you know it's everything. It's the fact that like she plugs in her cell phone, and all of a sudden she goes back, and the cell phone's gone.
Yeah, that was the shit that gets me.
The one that really got me was the when the smoke alarm went off, and she set it on the like counter, and then it was moved onto a chair that wasn't even there.
And it was all put back together.
Yep. Yeah, and she was just like, whoa.
Yeah, but then it's all the little hellos written too. I'm like, oh fuck, all of them are in the house. Oh fuck.
The thing about the movie that I think it did,
or even when he just watches her go get a drink of water and then he just goes back.
Oh, him watching her for five. It had to have been a 5-minute scene of her just drinking a glass of water with him just
in the
analyzing and staring.
And as she turns around, he's gone. And that's the shit that I'm like,
beautiful. The fact that he walks into the room playing the piano. And she's there, and he takes a hard left instead of going to the right where she is, and she just backs up slowly into the thing. Get the fuck out of
there. Right. But then he keeps looking at that door.
How about the fact that she comes out of the fucking barn, and the girl's right behind her?
Yeah.
And then she just lets her, I'm going
to
let her go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when she's crawling to the barn, that girl's got the knife.
Because that's the thing. Walking she up couldn't her. Kill her in the barn, because they had to kill him together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's not just about, but she could have slit her things and just dragged her inside.
Achilles.
The whole point was
to have them both primed and ready.
Right. You wanted them at their wits' end, the moment that they're no longer able to do anything. The reason why I think they took Scott Speedman out so fast is because he had that gun.
He was about to shoot that brunette in the face.
Yeah.
And then you just hear
turns around, just like swings, and you're like, oh my god!
Kicks
him in the face. Oh my.
But I think maybe that's why Asthmatic Sackhead was Bree, because he was doing the most running around, to be honest.
Well, he didn't want his lady to get all blown up with the shoddy.
He hasn't had sex with that girl yet.
No, she's had sex with him.
Yeah,
he hasn't had sex with her.
No, he just happened to have the dick in the thing. She's like, this is my dick now.
She makes him wear that mask during sex.
It was
That's very
good. It's very good because there's a lot of just looks.
I think you've touched on it the most in just what you're saying. Like, it combines every aspect that makes the human emotion of fear all just keep tying together, and it just keeps grinding it into you.
It's that anticipation, it's like, but then there's that tempt of like, there's help. Oh, nothing happened.
Okay, they didn't get him. Why didn't they get him? What's going on?
Why didn't they do?
Where did she go?
Yeah, you're screaming questions in your head, and not a fucking word's being said. Oh. And you're terrified. You're like, what's it? Oh, is it? Oh, Jesus.
Like, I think it's almost as if, like, they're just like, we're just going to watch until our time limit's up. Because, like, at a certain point, you know, like, okay, remember when she's sitting outside the sliding glass window and he's walking towards the sliding glass window and you're like, oh, shit.
And then she kind of like, hears him, like...
Yeah, and then she takes off. And I don't know what would have happened if he went outside. Do you think he would have hit her? I think he would have just walked outside, looked at her. Then she would have taken off and he would have been like, that's it. Yeah, no, here's the whole thing.
Well, I'm not running because I have my didn't bring my inhaler.
It's time limit time.
Yeah.
Me and Wayne found a bunch of these, like, just throughout the movie of just things that were happening in the movie that were shot weird. They, like, when it showed outside shots of the neighborhood, their house was right next to another house. But when they were running around, they had all this acreage.
Yeah.
Well, the backyard is huge acreage.
Okay.
So when they're doing a lot of the running... That's the backyard to the
why didn't they go knock on any of those neighbors' doors or anything?
He said, since we've been here, I haven't heard a dog bark. I haven't seen a light. I haven't heard a car drive past.
Yeah.
Like, they're alone. This is a summer home.
Yeah.
Like, that. Basically, they went there because he was proposing.
Yep.
And they just wanted a weekend of fucking.
Wanted a weekend of just like, we're getting married!
Because they got rose petals everywhere.
So, like, he basically said, yeah, there's no one home in the next door places. Like, they could have maybe broken into one of the next door places.
Unless the plot thickens, they lived in those next door places.
No. It was very obvious they didn't live there. The way they were driving away.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah, past all the other houses.
What I didn't like is, this is the only part of the movie.
But here's the other weird thing, right in the beginning too, he pulls out this stack of mail that almost was the mailbox. Like, it's a summer home, but you still get that much mail sent to your house.
Well, it's all ads and stuff.
It's all ads and stuff.
Yeah. Still,
you get all that stuff once a week.
Ads aren't that stupid. It looked like letters to me.
What me and Wayne thought, this is the only problem I had with the movie, and it was just probably a production error. He took off his tie and wrapped up her hand from cutting.
Yes.
But when they go outside, ties on his body. Again.
Yeah, and I seriously think that guy's mask changed when he dragged Ryan the back into it. It was a totally different mask. It seriously, it didn't have the stitches or the hems on it.
We'll have to rewatch it.
I'm telling you, that deer head changed twice. That was a different deer head.
Here's another thing which I looked up. The movie only cost $9 million to make, so that deer head could have been rented and they had to rent another one. They could have ripped the mask and then had to somehow make another mask.
And they had very used old cars, so I bet you all that money went into Liv Tyler's collagen, whose lips got bigger as the movie started to end. Like, yeah, maybe stress makes her lips getting bigger. The collagen in her lips.
The thing I found most interesting about that movie was, like, one, it was the director's first movie that he ever directed.
Yep. Which he did fantastic job.
Yeah. For a first time movie.
Oh, absolutely.
So here's the thing. For a movie, it was amazing.
Yes. Yes.
For a first movie, it's breathtaking.
Yes.
Knocked out of the park.
Yes.
The thing, and I think that's why maybe it had some mixed reviews, was because, like, some of the editing might have not have been perfect. Some of the shots might not have been perfect.
Oh, those shots were pristine.
But I mean, considering that, like, a lot of directors have, like, their own, art school, like, their directing art school movies or something like that they built up to, to get a feature film. This guy got the feature film based off the story.
Yeah.
He pitched the story, and they're like, that's a really good story. If I looked it up correctly, they were looking at a director, the director dropped out, and they're like, you gotta direct it. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
So, like...
Well, that's even better, because it was his idea. Did he screenwrite it, too?
Yeah.
Well, that, I think that is great. A lot of movies actually turn out pretty good when the screenplay writer is also the director.
Yeah. Well, because he knew exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
And
that's
that
would be pretty difficult to try to translate.
And there was slight, you know, like when they're doing the handheld.
Yeah.
That you could see a little bit of movement.
But I think that wasn't added to it.
But it wasn't so shaky that I was just like, I feel like I'm having a scene.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't Blair Witch at all.
It was really good in the sense that, like, It had that handmade feel to it. It had that, like, from the perspective of this person.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
But it wasn't so, like, look at this is definitely someone holding the camera. This is their point of view.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
This is a person walking. It's just a slight switch. Because they did have the still, like, when it was watching the bad people, it was still. Solid.
Well, and to hear that they had a $9 million budget is just.
I just looked up.
How much did it make?
I was going to bring this up. But now I can't because I just looked it up. That said, based on a true story.
Based on true events.
Yeah, you know what it was based on?
The Manson family.
The Manson family murders.
Yeah.
Which
bullshit, because those weren't famous people.
Based on when.
Like,
they weren't, they could have made them up as certain famous people. They have to be specific famous people.
Yeah.
That's what the word based on means.
Based on means it's like based on true events, not based off a specific story. That's what it is.
Is it based off of fucking yourself? I'm telling you, just don't say it is those famous people. It's certain. It's just some famous-ish people.
But that's why I didn't say based on the Manson family murders. The
Mason-Dixon family.
The Mason-Dixon family. It's based on the Mason-Dixon line. but honestly,
it happened in a Waffle House.
let's sum it up real quick. Terrifying movie. You have to go see it to really experience.
Oh, you have to watch it with the lights everything. Off.
Say don't watch it by yourself.
No, don't watch it by yourself.
No, you should watch it by yourself. You got two girls hanging out with you screaming like, God, seriously, both of you.
That movie was terrifying. I did not feel bad about jumping during that movie.
I'm happy I live on a third floor apartment.
They can still come get you.
In Richmond, Virginia.
They can still come get you. yeah.
Have you been to my apartment? It's 27 square feet. If they're there to get me, we'll be touching.
Okay, so $9 million is what it cost. Guess what the box office was?
What?
$82
million. Wow.
Cash money. Holy Jesus. Fuck.
All of that probably went
to... That's how good that movie...
All of that went to Liv Tyler. Yeah. She's the only famous person. She probably signed for a little bit of money, but won residuals.
Scott Speedman probably got a good paycheck on it, too. If you really look at the cast, there's 3, 4, 5, 6 people in this movie.
Yep, that's it.
There's 6. The dialogue is really Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman.
Yep.
A little bit of the other guy, Dennis.
Dennis from whatever his name is. I just had it pulled up.
Just honestly, watch this movie. With the lights off. Oh, no. I mean, enjoy being terrified. And honestly, fucked with me. It fucks with me every time.
Just get lost in the movie is what we're saying.
It's very good, though. It is a very good movie. No matter what, I don't know what Rotten Tomatoes says it is, but...
Don't listen to the fucking
IMDb
reviews.
IMDb is giving 60-ish percent. Like, fuck.
IMDb can get fucked. Movie.
I think it got like a 46 on fucking Rotten Tomatoes, which is just ridiculous.
That's wrong.
I don't understand why it got such bad reviews.
It wouldn't have made that much money.
We're not going to do that right now, but we'll look through. After this podcast, we'll look through and find out why. We'll probably talk about it in a future one. Josh, thank you so much for coming.
Hey, thank you guys very much for having me.
Thanks for watching that terrifying movie with me.
I am not going to sleep tonight.
You're
me and the pugs are going to cry.
thank you very much for Cinema Cannon. This is William Burfine.
And this is Ted Evans.
Thanks for coming.
Meow.
Thank you for listening to Cinema Catnip. To contact Ted or Wayne, email them cinemacatnip@gmail.com or contact them on Twitter. Wayne Burfine's @MCDS_orange or Ted Evans @TedEvans0107. If this is an emergency, dial 911.